Welcome to Media Minutes, a weekly review of news related to media and democracy. I'm Stevie Converse.
And I'm Candace Clement. Comcast, the nation's largest cable provider, is under investigation by the Federal Communications Commission for blocking popular peer-to-peer file sharing services that allow users to quickly share large files, especially video. Last month, the FCC held a hearing in Boston on Comcast's internet blocking, which made national news when Comcast hired people to fill the seats and crowd out the public. Now the agency has scheduled a second hearing at Stanford University on April 17th. But in a surprising announcement last week, Comcast and BitTorrent, the company named after the most popular file-sharing protocol, announced plans to collaborate on ways to distribute large files over the cable company's broadband network. Free Press General Counsel Marvin Amore, who wrote the complaint that launched the FCC's investigation, says that Comcast's willingness to collaborate with a tech company would have never happened without intense public pressure.
I mean, Comcast had been denying that it was even blocking BitTorrent. And then when the AP and the Electronic Frontier Foundation discovered that Comcast was blocking BitTorrent, Comcast kept thumbing its nose at consumer groups, at BitTorrent Inc., and at the FCC and Congress. It wasn't until the public brought considerable pressure that Comcast saw the writing on the wall and realized it would have to negotiate.
In making friends with BitTorrent, Comcast may hope to be heading off FCC action. But Amore points out that Comcast's deal with BitTorrent is no substitute for rules to keep the internet open to all companies and consumers equally.
Software companies shouldn't have to cut a special deal with Comcast to get carried on their networks. That is the old cable TV model, where if you wanted to be on the network and have people watch your TV programming, you'd cut a deal with Comcast. The internet model is totally different. In the internet world, every software maker, every content maker, every blog, from the largest news provider to the smallest speaker, should be allowed to reach anyone who has an internet connection.
If internet service providers are allowed to cut special deals with content providers or certain applications, the internet experience will become more like cable TV, what Amore calls balkanized networks, where the internet content available on Comcast will differ from the content served up by Time Warner, Verizon, or AT&T.
There will be Time Warner and Comcast determining for the consumer what content the consumer should be accessing.
For more information about net neutrality and the upcoming FCC hearing, go to savetheinternet.com.
Last month at Town Meeting Day in Vermont, 25 rural towns joined in a regional effort to bring high-speed fiber optic internet access to their homes. The organizers of the East Central Vermont Community Fiber Network point to the votes, many of them unanimous, as further evidence that when it comes to broadband, rural towns have been, in one resident's words, at the tail end of the dog for a long time. Project manager Tim Nulty, who also got the city of Burlington's fiber off the ground, says that the East Central Vermont Fiber Network is actually a grassroots movement that started with activists from 15 towns.
As they started rolling down the road, other towns said, hey, we want to be part of that too. And it grew to 25. And then we kind of closed the door and said, look, you know, this is going to be, you know, this is going to be a bear. How big can it be?
The project will be a community-owned public resource, like any other public utility. It will be universal. If you're a citizen of the town, you get it. It will offer the triple play of TV, internet, and voice. But it will also be open access. Other companies will be able to pay a wholesale rate and compete to offer those same services. Best of all, perhaps, it won't rely on taxpayer money. It's being financed privately through municipal leases, and it will eventually pay for itself. Nulty says it will be built to last.
The fiber will be good for 100 years, and all of the ancillary electronics will be relatively easy to upgrade through time.
Nulty understands the telecom business. He was the chief economist for the Senate and House Commerce Committees in the 1970s and 1980s before going to work for the World Bank. And the fiber project he built up in Burlington is already attracting thousands of subscribers and seeing positive cash flow.
It doesn't make the kinds of rates of return that interest Wall Street investment bankers, let alone venture capitalists, but it's a perfectly good, profitable public utility from a town perspective. You know, 10% rate of return, 8% rate of return on total investment is an interesting number.
For more information about the East Central Vermont Community Fiber Network, go to ecfiber.net. You've been listening to Media Minutes, a production of Free Press, a national nonpartisan organization working to reform the media. For more information, visit freepress.net.
Okay, there we are. Farewell to Herbie Hancock, hello to Thelonious Monk, and you're listening to Media Matters here in WILL AM 580 in beautiful Urbana, Illinois. Today is our pledge drive show. We've been on 2 hours. This is the second hour, our standard hour, which we're on right now. We need folks to call in at 217-244-9455. Make that pledge. $60 gets you my brand new book, which is being printed this week and will be off the press in 2 weeks. I just finished it last month to show the miracles of modern technology, the political economy of media. Or you can get my most recent book before that, Communication Revolution, or Norman Solomon's brand new book, Made Love Got War. And we're going to have Norman Solomon on later in the day today. And we're going to have Norman Solomon on for a special show to talk about the book just 2 weeks from now. So please call in, make the pledge at 244-9455, or go to the secure website, willpledge.org. And I know we've got lots of people out there in Podville and podcasting space and in cyberspace who listen to the show. A lot more listen now online than listen over the air. We need you to support us because what going online, making those podcasts available costs money, takes staff time. We desperately need your support. You can make this show thrive. You can make the station thrive. We're privileged now to join us on the air. And I don't know where she's calling from. I hope New York, but she may well be in the road. We'll soon find out. One of the real giants of American journalism today, someone who, when people ask me, what are we fighting for when we do media reform? Well, we're fighting for journalism where the sort of work our guest does is not the exception, but it is the rule. So please join me in welcoming Amy Goodman to Media Matters.
It's great to be with you, Bob. Great to be with the listeners and hopefully the exception to the rulers, because that should be the role of all the media. Please go to your phone right now and let us know that you're there. Please stand up for independent media. Yes, in media, we need democracy now. We need it right now. Bob's new book, The Political Economy of Media, I can't say I've read it. As he said, it's coming hot off the press next week, but I definitely want to, and I think you should too. So please call, and if you pledge $60, you're not only getting a copy of the book, which is really a thank you gift, and it looks like my phone is about to run out of juice, so I hate to be leaving you, but please call. Be as generous as you can and dial 217-244-9455. That's 217-244-9455. Become a member of WILL or pledge at WILL, willpledge.org, but do it now. Do not take independent media for granted. Don't take WILL for granted or Bob's show that you tune into every Sunday. It makes a difference. Bob's such a key leader in the media democracy movement. We hope to see a lot of you out in Minneapolis at the beginning of June for the National Conference on Media Reform. But right now, go to your phone, 217-244-9455. Make that call right now. We can't do it without you. Yet the political economy of media is as relevant today, actually more relevant than ever before. What matters is not the number of channels out there, but who owns the media. And it's becoming frighteningly few. Those few media moguls like Rupert Murdoch who are taking so much over of the media space, our public airwaves, not to mention the newspapers as well, radio, television, satellite TV, and the newspapers. It matters that you call. Number is 217-244-9455, 217-244-9455. Please make that right now.
Amy?
Fill every phone line. Yes, Bob?
I know you're calling with a cell that's about to run out. I know how busy you are and how hard you've worked. And I'll let you run in a second. But one thing I'd like to ask you is, you know, you had Joe Stiglitz on your show recently, I know, Democracy Now!, which many of our listeners listen to or watch. We're having Joseph Stiglitz on next week to talk about his book for the full hour. And, you know, people have often said when I proposed doing the show, there's no interest in having a show like that where you give a Stiglitz or a Chomsky or someone like that a full hour to talk about their work or extended time to develop their ideas. You, I think, have shown that that's baloney. I mean,
absolutely. And I think you talk about it, too. I mean, this whole idea of the sound bite, the average sound bite is 8 or 9 seconds. What say in that amount of time, and particularly young people, not to mention older people, want something more. How are you going to hear someone think outside the box if they don't have more than 8 seconds? Joe Stiglitz and Linda Domus wrote this book, The $3 Trillion War. That's what the war is costing us. I mean, the response to that all over the world, $3 trillion. A lot of that money we haven't even paid out yet, and it's about taking care of the soldiers when they come home to this country, something that has not been done, not to mention the billions that are being spent, the trillions that are being wasted, taking lives instead of saving them here at home or even abroad. I really encourage people to call to listen next week to Joe Stiglitz, the $3 trillion war. Please, though, call right now and keep the radio station alive so you can hear programs like this. We urge you to call right now, 217-244-9455, 217-244-9455. Bob cannot do this alone. You're really a co-producer of the show by keeping the...
Amy Goodman, I want to thank you for joining us. I think we've lost you because of your cell. I can't thank you enough for your...
With a feverish passion to the very end.
Well, you know, I think that she really speaks about what's at stake here. She understands it like you do, John, like I do, that this isn't just about a radio show. It's not just about a radio station. It's about the quality of our lives. It's about the quality of our republic.
Well, it's about, look, and the number that people should be calling again is...
217-244-9455.
217-244-9455.
Or the Internet Secure Pledge line, which is the website, which is willpledge.org. There is a toll-free number for folks who want to call in, 866-779-9455. And there are lots of premiums, including my two new books, the one that's being printed right now. We'd love to give them to you. We hope you'll get them. But the most important thing, John, as you and I have been talking about, is that just vote somehow.
This is, at the core level, a democracy issue, a functional society issue. And sometimes I think, you know, maybe when Amy and you and I and other folks talk about democracy, it seems esoteric. It seems like, wow, that's a wonderful phrase, you know, those kids in the streets of Seattle saying, this is what democracy looks like, or those of us who listen to Amy's show or to this show saying, this is what democracy sounds like. But democracy needs to be understood for what it is. It is us. It's you and I and all the listeners deciding the kind of country and the kind of world we want to live in. The fact of the matter is that when we lack the information we need to make basic decisions about who leads our country, about what sort of economy we have, about how our resources are spent, about where we fight wars and where we colonize countries rather than where we negotiate and where we make peace with countries. All of these decisions come back to us. They are made in our name, always made in our name. They're made with our money. But unless we have the information that comes from a free press, from a quality radio station like this, we cannot possibly make the right decisions. We cannot possibly establish the country or the world that we want. And so democracy is about everything that we want. And democracy only works if people support those independent media outlets, those public media outlets that provide us with quality information to act as citizens. And this is one of them. It's the reason that Amy's called in. It's the reason that Noam Chomsky's called in. It's the reason that you and I are spending these 2 hours talking. Not just for the fun of a pledge drive. It's because we really do believe that the whole concept of what our lives are and what our lives can be comes down to this simple question of, are we going to provide the resources so people can get the information and do the right thing?
And you're listening to Media Matters. I'm your host, Bob McChesney, coming to you today live from Campbell Hall on the campus of the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. This is the day we need you to step forward with your support. The station is in dire straits. Be honest. The economy, government cutbacks, university cutbacks have left us in a position where we do need our listeners to step up and say, this is the sort of programming we want. This is what we need. We want to support Media Matters. We want to support this terrific station, WILL AM 580. We also need those of you listening to this show out there on Podcastville or whatever they call that zone and cyberspace, listening over the internet. You know, we go to extra expense to make these shows available. We're delighted to have a large audience out there. We know we have hundreds of thousands of people now who listen to this show regularly through podcasting and the internet. And very few of you, but the ones who do, we love you, but very few of you step forward to support the show and to support the station that makes the show possible. If just 1% of you were to step forward, this station would be rolling. That's really what we need. We need those of you who listen and enjoy this show. Give what you can. We aren't asking you to go into debt, but give what you can. If it's $20, fine. If it's $60, wonderful. We've got great premiums waiting for you. And if it's more, and there are some people I know who've had good luck financially, they're in good position. If you can step up and give more, please give more. Every penny is needed. It will go to good use. I promise you, there's no like three martini lunches around here. There's no hot tubs in the back for interns. This is all going directly to pay the slab, to get the core costs covered, to pay for labor. Times are hard. We need you to support us here at WILL AM 580. The number 217-244-9455. Go to willpledge.org if you want to make a secure website pledge. Whatever you do, please step up. Show your support for this show. Show your support for this station. You know, we're going to be bringing you guests in the coming weeks, people like Nobel Prize winning economist Joseph Stiglitz, people like Norman Solomon, who we'll be talking to shortly here on the air, people like Janine Jackson, who will be coming on the air in a few weeks, Jim Hightower, on and on and on. We've got guests, Arianna Huffington, who you just simply aren't going to have a chance to see speak at depth, at length, without commercial interruption.
But without... they might hear Arianna.
Pardon, dear?
They might hear Arianna.
They might hear Arianna.
They might hear on a few things.
That's right. And some, but you know, what's different, though?
That's an important thing to understand.
What's different, though, Joe?
Because the show is not just a place where people who can't get on air come on air. Some of the most prominent people in the country make time to be a part of this show because they think it's so important. Now, it's true. They get more time. They get a chance to be heard and to really explore ideas. But the fact is, it's important to understand that there's nobody, no serious thinker, no serious player in the political discourse of the country now who wouldn't come on this show. That's how important this show is. But to make that happen, to have the producers be able to get through to people, you know, range the programs, get the phone lines hooked up, do all the things that need to be done, that takes a lot of time. It's all the pieces that make a radio show like this work. And it takes money, and the money that people pledge, the calls that are made today, allow that to happen throughout the year. It's so very vital. So, Bob, the phone number again is
217-244-9455, the website for the secure pledge. And you don't have to make it today. If you're listening to the show later, you can make it anytime in the next month. willpledge.org, and we assure you the money will be needed. And I wish people could come down here to Campbell Hall, see these volunteers, and they're volunteers, people like myself who don't get any money for this, who come down here, and they're not getting the glory of being on the air. They're voluntarily answering the phone calls right now because they believe in this show, they believe in the station. If you see what happens when these phones ring, how people light up, I mean, even if you're going to make a $10 pledge, $20, just make that pledge. Lift the morale here. Help us go forward. We need your support. If you're listening now after all this, an hour and 20 minutes of this, and you haven't given heavens.
Yeah, I know, man. We can't convince you at this point, you know. But still, I mean, obviously, what do we do and why do we do it? It's because, you know, we keep at it, you know, hoping, frankly, that we make a connection, that somehow somebody who's listened for years, been a very, very loyal fan, maybe given some time in the past, but not recently, will hear something that we're saying and say, yeah, geez, you know, I do have to step up and make the pledge and be a part of this program and this station, not because I want to feel good, although obviously you will, and not because we asked you, although obviously we are, but because you know, in your heart, you know that this is what you should be doing. It's a basic responsibility as a citizen. You know, I wish I could tell you that somehow all of it's going to be done for you. But this republic wasn't founded on the concept that somebody else would do all the heavy lifting. This republic was founded on the concept that we, the people, would do the basic tasks that make things work. And one of the basic tasks, especially with the size of our country today, with the mass of people in it, is to support those media outlets that will provide people with the information they need to act as citizens. I mean, it's a basic thing that we all have to do. And so, yeah, we keep talking about it because to Bob and I, this is pretty close to a religion. This is something that we believe is so essential to making America work. And that's why I take time out of covering a presidential race that really does eat up a lot of my schedule. Bob takes time out of teaching and writing and doing so many other things. And our callers take time out of their busy days. because we all know this little show on this little station in Illinois is an absolute building block for the whole of this broad project, this big dream of restoring and renewing and making functional American democracy.
John Nichols, you've been listening to us. Our guest today in Media Matters, I'm your host, Bob McChesney. We're both imploring you to get on the phone and make your pledge now at 217-244-9455. We've only got about 40 minutes left in the show, a little less than that. Please call in if you haven't made your pledge yet. We have some wonderful premiums. My brand new book, The Political Economy of Media, which is being printed this week, will be available in 2 weeks. It's going to be air-speeded to the station so we can get it to you right away if you pledge.
The elves are printing it as we speak.
As we speak. We've also got my book that came out, the companion volume, Communication Revolution, available. It came out last fall. We have Norman Solomon's new book, Made Love, Got War. And, John, I've got a bunch of people I want to thank who generously pledged. Let me quickly thank them. And I wish I could just give each of them a hug. I'm just so delighted for this support.
But you will be over to mow their lawns later this week.
Well, you will.
Oh, okay.
Nancy Stagg from Urbana. Thank you so much, Nancy. Robert Neville or Neville. I always mangle that. I'm not sure which it is. From Perryton, Indiana. We get a lot of listeners in Indiana.
Don't forget to vote in the primary.
That's right. Jean and Durango Mendoza from Urbana. Thank you so much. Fred and Alice Orr from, I'm going to lay off that. Greg Martel,
thank you.
From Urbana. Lauren and Mark Goodled from Champaign. Amentaru Walrob from Champaign. Robert Elshear from Slaterville Springs, New York. Here we go. Thank you, Robert. I mean, I love you all, but here's someone from New York who's clearly doesn't have that strong of a radio. He's getting it online. Called in and made a very generous pledge. Pat Combs from Savoy. Robert Mikesell from Dunlap. Wayne and Adrian Smith, who we already thanked and read their wonderful comment over the air. Raymond Luthold from Urbana. Heath Sutton from Champaign. Robert Melton from Champaign. Darlene Hansis from Terre Haute, another Indiana. Gary and Catherine Adler from Terre Haute, another Indiana. Thank you, Indiana. Don McClure from Champaign. Charles Delman from Charleston. Brandon Bowersox, thank you, Brandon, from Urbana. Roz and Pascal Schwartz from Urbana. And Holly Andrews from Charleston. All those people have generously pledged so far in the show. We thank you. We'd like to double that list. We'd like to add a lot more names. We need to. It's not just that we'd like to. Again, when we talk about raising money for WILL and for Media Matters for this show, it's not just about this is bonus money that we'll have for the Christmas party. This is money to actually pay the salaries of this extraordinarily hardworking staff that's supplemented by the volunteers like myself. It's to pay the electric bill, the phone bill, the all-important expenses that need to be paid to get the equipment to go to a digital transition, which is mandatory for broadcasters in this country. And we need people who listen to do their support. Only 10% of regular WILL listeners regularly contribute. If you're part of that 10%, I love you. I want to give you a hug. You're part of the team. You're the co-producer, as Amy Goodman put it, of this program. But if you're of the other 90%, I want you to become a co-producer. I want you to become part of the Media Matters team. I want you to become part of WILL. And when you make the contribution, you have no idea what good work that does in this community, what good work that does here, how important it is, whatever the size of the contribution. So please call 217-244-9455 or go to the secure website willpledge.org. And I just got a note here from Jay Pierce, station manager. Jay's actually been regaling me with notes throughout the show. You know, we were talking about how rough it is around here for a public station compared to a commercial station. Jay's the manager of WILL, and he says
he drives a
12-year-old Buick. He's working the board for me today, right across from me the whole show, and he irons his own shirts. And I dare say,
and he doesn't do that good a job of it.
I wouldn't go that far, but like me, I think Jay and I are radio people, not visual people. But we do need people to call in, make that pledge, join the list. You know, there's so much that we want to do and we're trying to do, but it all starts with you. It all starts with our audience. It all starts with people stepping up and making the pledge. And, you know, John, you and I have talked about this. When we have a show that's successful here, and this show is a success, this station is a success, but we're really challenged for money. When we're successful, when people step forward and say, yeah, I support that sort of show, that gets out to other stations in the country. That gets out to even commercial news stations. Hey, what's going on? How come the McChesney Show is the number one rated show in its time? time slot in Champaign-Urbana. You know, what is this guy doing? What are these listeners getting there that we're not giving them? And this is a message that when you pledge gets underlined and bold-faced to public station managers around the country, to community station managers. This is the sort of shows people want to hear. So the number again is 217-244-9455. We need to raise a lot of money here at the station. The pledge drive only runs through Tuesday. If you haven't made the pledge drive yet, please call 244-9455, make that pledge, or go to the secure website, willpledge.org. We've got a long list of terrific guests lined up. Andrew O'Boyle, my producer, has just done a wonderful job getting the next 2 months filled with some of the best guests we've ever had in Media Matters history. And part of the reason they come on, as John Nichols alluded to a few minutes ago, is these people are willing to take time to come on this station in Champaign-Urbana because they know they've got a great audience here. It's not because they like me personally. It's not because they necessarily like WILL, but they know this show has a wonderful audience. And the way you show those people they've made a right decision is to support this show and make it your show. Make this station your station.
Let me tell you something else, too, Bob. And that is that it's unfortunate reality. They come on because they know the show is important. They also come on because there aren't that many shows like this.
Yeah.
There aren't that many places in America where you can have an hour of dialogue about a serious new idea, about a serious initiative, about something that really is important. And this is a big deal right now because America is about to go through a change moment. The question is not whether we're going to change. I mean, Bush and Cheney are heading out to their estates. They're done with the mess they're making of America. But the question is going to be the quality of the moment that comes. Will we enter into a period of real reform, of real progress? The only way that happens is if ideas get out, if people start thinking in new and better ways. And the wonderful thing about this show on this station is because of the internet, because of the podcast, because of all of the good production that goes on with it, these ideas can be broadcast first to an audience in central Illinois and then go out nationwide and worldwide. So that's why people come on this show not thinking, oh, well, I'm going to get a chance to really illuminate the people in Urbana, although they're glad to do it and delighted. But ultimately, they see this show as the place where you start a prairie fire, where you start something real happening across the whole country. And so they come on, they give the time, but that will only continue to happen, and it will only continue to happen with the quality, frankly, that we've seen so far and with what we hope to see in the future if people donate today. I mean, each pledge drive, as frustrating as it can be sometimes, but each pledge drive is sort of a building block. And if we ever fail, if we ever have a pledge drive where the money doesn't come in at a sufficient level, then things start to crumble, not just at WILL, but with this whole kind of concept of getting ideas out. So your call today is more important than just a little radio pledge drive. This is about, you know, whether we have in this important change moment in America the resources to communicate ideas that will decide whether the change is a lie, whether it's just the facade of reform, or whether it is genuine reform that takes us to some place that is better than where we're at today.
My name's Bob McChesney. You're listening to Media Matters here in WILL AM 580. It is our biannual pledge drive show. We started at noon today. We're going to run all the way to 2 o'clock, so we've got a little under 30 minutes left. We've got a couple more callers we're going to get to, Norman Solomon and Ben Scott. We've already had Noam Chomsky on the air. We've had Amy Goodman on the air. And as always, joined by our dear friend of the show, John Nichols, who graciously takes 2 hours out of his Sunday, one of the busiest men I know, to join us to show his support for the show. And just to underline what has been said already, we need your support. We need you to call 244-9455. We have some wonderful pledges. And, you know, one thing I'd like listeners to think about for a second is, you know, imagine this show didn't exist and this station didn't exist. What would you be willing to pay to get it back up to speed? What would you be willing to reach in right now? This is what you say. This show's off the air. This station's off the air. Instead, there's going to be infomercials and commercially laden shock jocks instead. That's all you're going to get. What would you be willing to pay? I dare say that for most of you, you'd be willing to pay a bit, maybe even quite a bit. that's what we should be thinking about paying right now, because that's the moment we're in politically in this country and business-wise here at this WILL. We need you to think in those terms. We need to get to the mattresses. You know, we need to basically reach down, dig deep, make that contribution. Now, John Nichols, you know, if someone just gave a dollar a day to keep this station going and this show going, you could get all the books we're offering as pledge drives, all the brand new books, my two books, Norman Solomon's book, and you could get a tote bag to carry it around in for a dollar a day.
Well, and understand, this is something that what you're saying, why what you're saying is so very important. You know, we see this now and again. We actually see people say, well, you know, media is such a disaster. We're going to have to raise a fortune to start some new alternative media vehicle. We're going to, you know, get people across the country to give money to launch a new newspaper, launch a new radio project, launch something on the internet. And there's all sorts of fundraising, and they get George Soros to give a chunk of money, but then they get all sorts of other people to give money. And, you know, a lot of times it doesn't work, because the fact of the matter is that they're trying to recreate something that already exists. This is something that we've come to realize only in recent years, that public radio, this incredible network of local stations across the United States, is an existing vehicle for getting out a better quality of information than what we get from most broadcast, commercial, and television and radio. So it's there. We have it. We don't have to go out and raise tens of billions of dollars to do it. But we do have to continue to support it. And maybe it's sexier to say, oh, well, let's go create something new. But the fact of the matter is, something new isn't going to work.
John,
making something that's here function, that's what's going to work.
John, we had a caller who called in and had a question for you, and he argues that Hillary Clinton was actually against NAFTA from the beginning, and the bill was basically for it, but Hillary was against it, and says that wants you to address that.
It's a good question, and I've written about it. In fact, in the current issue of The Nation, I've got a lengthy piece that goes back to the history on NAFTA and China trade and a host of these other issues. Hillary Clinton has said that she was against NAFTA. In fact, she's out in Indiana right now making that pitch. I wish it was true. The fact of the matter is that when they released the 11,000 pages of Clinton administration documents dealing with her tenure as First Lady, what we found is that she attended at least 5 strategy sessions that were held to figure out how to pass NAFTA. She was also the headline speaker at a rally in the old executive office building where they brought in women business leaders from across the country and got them prepared to go and lobby Democrats in Congress in favor of NAFTA. Now, even there, you know, the Clinton campaign has recently said, oh, well, she was just stopping in. It wasn't really a wholehearted effort. But when we've gone and interviewed the people who were at that meeting in 1993, they say that Hillary Clinton was an enthusiastic, passionate proponent of NAFTA. Now, this is just the truth, and the truth is sometimes painful, but it's the kind of thing that if you do a little bit of reporting, you can get to. Similarly, Hillary Clinton is campaigning in Indiana right now, suggesting that she's a big opponent of permanent most favored nation trading status and permanent free trade principles as regards China. But the fact of the matter is that in 2000, when she was running for the Senate from New York, she actively supported extending most favored nation trading status to China, despite the fact that organized labor said this would cost hundreds of thousands of jobs, maybe millions of jobs in the U.S., despite the fact that environmental groups said this would extend global warming, despite the fact that human rights groups said that extending permanent most favored nation trading status to China would make it impossible for the U.S. to pressure China to end human rights abuses against the Tibetans and other citizens of that country. So the fact of the matter is, Hillary Clinton has been wrong on these issues consistently, and just last week, her chief campaign strategist was meeting with the government of Colombia to figure out how to pass the next major free trade pact.
John Nichols, I think you've just proven 2 points about this program that have been disputed other times. One, that you can have meaty content on a pledge drive show.
and two,
that we are biased towards all Democrats. I think.
No, in fact, the painful reality is that in this piece that I write detailing Hillary Clinton's flaws as regards trade, I also take apart Barack Obama, because while he is saying much better things on some of these issues in recent months, the fact is his own track record is very, very weak on these issues, very troubling. And we need to be, you know, we need to be open-eyed about this. We need to talk about it, not merely to criticize Democrats or Republicans, but to pressure them to become more precise and hopefully to get them, to get candidates educated so that they stop just using these issues as populist, you know, tubs to thump on during the campaign season and actually start to recognize that trade is a fundamental issue in our politics and we need to change our trade policy.
Our guest today, John Nichols. You're listening to Media Matters. I'm your host, Bob McChesney, here in WILL AM 580. It is Pledge Drive Week. We've only got about 23 minutes left. We need lots of people to call in. We desperately need your support to support this show, to become a co-producer. Call 217-244-9455 or go to the secure website, willpledge.org. $60 will get you one of many books. Our people answering the phone, the volunteers, can tell you about them, including my brand new book, The Political Economy of Media, which is literally being printed this week. I just finished it a few weeks ago. This show has been on the air now, I'm delighted to say, oh my gosh, 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
We're just about our 6-year anniversary, just about right now. I think, John, you were our first guest, if
I'm
not mistaken.
And you know, the truth of the matter is, it's nice that it's been on for 6 years. By the way, can you remind people of the phone number one more time?
244-9455.
It's nice the show has been on for 6 years because the fact is we can now say, hey, we've been right about some things. For instance, in the last 6 years, we were right about the war in Iraq. We had guests, you had guests on, I came on and talked about the debate on Iraq, not just in the U.S., but internationally, where people were saying before the war began that if the U.S. attacked Iraq, it would be disastrous. We were right about trade policy. We were back 5-6 years ago saying that these trade agreements, which everybody was saying were going great, weren't going great, that the trade deficit was ballooning out of control, and that it was going to have a damaging impact on the economy.
And we're also right about the fact that we need people to call in and make the pledge. And the other point I wanted to make about being on 6 years is we've had three producers now. Current Andrew Boyle has been doing such a great job. Before him, Victor Picard, who was a producer for many years. But our first producer, who we mentioned earlier in the show, Ben Scott, is now the political director, policy director for Free Press, based in Washington, and is a leading figure, if not the leading figure, in the movement for media reform in the United States, in Washington at least, and in that capacity is really at the forefront of the fight for a healthy, autonomous, independent public and community broadcasting system. Ben Scott, welcome to the air on the other side of the microphone.
Thanks, Bob. It's a pleasure to be back on WILL.
Yeah, and we should add that Ben Scott is a native Champaignian, local boy make good, and working on his PhD still, though we won't go into that over the air, here at the University of Illinois.
He's the only reason he hasn't finished his PhD is he went out to actually change history rather than just write about it.
But I think, Ben, what you could tell our listeners, you're on the forefront of dealing with Congress on a whole range of media policy issues, including funding for public radio and public TV and for public access channels. Can we sit back and trust Congress to sort of carry the ball for us?
Absolutely not. And in fact, I've been in Washington now for 5 years, and every single year when the White House submits its budget to the U.S. Congress, there is at least a 50% cut for public television and public radio, and this year is no different. And every year what happens is, you know, we advocates in the media reform movement, friends of public radio, friends of public television, have to rally and organize and demand that public broadcasting be recognized for the important public service that it is. And every year, by the skin of our teeth, we get the budget restored. But it is really a struggle and a challenge, and I think that there is nothing more important for Friends of Public Radio to tell their members of Congress that funding for public broadcasting is not optional. It's not a luxury item. It is an essential part of our democracy. And I think it's a part of our civic duty not only to support public broadcasting by talking to our members of Congress, but for those of us who can, to whip out our checkbooks when the time comes and make sure that our public radio stations in our communities are supported.
Absolutely. And the way you can do that right now is, you know, you don't have to wait for a politician to sign off on it. You can just get on the phone right now, call WILL AM 580 at 244-9455. Area code 217, or go to the secure website, willpledge.org, and make sure you make that pledge. $60 will net you one of many great books. Give whatever you can. If you can give more, please do give more. The money is desperately needed this year, now more than ever. And I think what it shows also, when you support the station like this and a show like this is when Ben Scott goes before members of Congress, like our whatever the Illinois delegation he might be speaking to, for example. If he can say, look at the support the station gets on pledge drives. Look at how many people called in. Even the raw number isn't that important there of the cash. It's more the number of callers, the thousands of callers who make that commitment. That's a powerful argument for keeping the budget alive, for not cutting it back, not slashing it to the bone. So please do call in, make that pledge drive. And Ben, before I let you run, because I know you work on network neutrality, internet freedom, a whole range of issues in Washington. From your experience, what I mean, who is covering these issues in a way that draws Americans into understanding the political fights around media? And I don't mean that as a self-serving question, say this show does it, but rather, I mean, who else is doing it? Because we do do it. But who else is covering media politics from your experience as someone trying to drum up publicity on these issues?
Well, it's remarkable how consistent the lack of coverage of these issues are. I mean, really the only place you see coverage in the mainstream press is in the business pages, because it's business people who are concerned about their stocks going up and down, and they don't even bother to talk about whether or not this story matters to citizens. Literally the only outlet that really delves into these issues, the only reporters from mainstream broadcast outlets, television and radio, who you consistently see in the press corps at the Federal Communications Commission and in the hearing rooms in the bowels of Congress watching what happens with the decisions that shape the media, you guessed it, it's public broadcasting. Those are the folks who are down in the trenches making sure that the people have an eye on what's going on in the halls of power, and that's exactly the reason why this service is so important and why we should support it.
Ben Scott, thank you so much for taking time away from your beautiful little baby girl and one of your few moments off probably in your life nowadays to join us today on Media Matters here at WILL. We look forward to getting you back in the community soon and seeing you, and good luck with your work.
Thanks very much. I look forward to coming back sometime soon.
Okay, and I want to, John Nichols, of course, joining me, Bob McChesney here. We've only got about 17, 16 minutes left. We're way behind what we need to do for this station. We've only got till Tuesday. There's a $200,000 goal for the whole station by Tuesday. We're not on pace. This show has really got to help pick up the pace so we can get out there and raise the money necessary. If you've called in and made your pledge, thank you. You're going to be rewarded. We're not just going to be pledge wrapping for the next 70 minutes. We'll let John talk again, and we're going to let Norman Solomon on the air in a few minutes to talk a little bit. But if you haven't made that pledge drive yet, please do call the number 244-9455. Make the pledge. We really need people to do it this year more than ever. Go to, if you're listening online, and this is really something Ben could have talked about, the importance of the internet and cyberspace to our media culture and the work he's been doing to protect that. You know, those of you listening online, there are more of you listening online now than there are listening over the air. Very few of you have been pledging. We need you, if you value this show and the station that brings this show, to go to willpledge.org, make the pledge, and in your memo there, you can type in that you want one of the books as a premium if you give $60, but give whatever you can. Again, we simply need lots of people to give, and we have a number of people I'd like to thank real quickly while people excuse me, while people are calling 244-9455. Charles Seagard of Champaign, thank you. Michael Talkington of Sydney. Mary Kennedy of Fairbury. Linda Lorenz of Urbana. Vera Vogel of Urbana. Stephen Fay of Champaign. MK and Phyllis Brussel of Urbana. Lots of Urbanas. That's my town there. Carson Stidham of Clovis, California, driving through the area. Get this.
Get
driving through
here.
The area, Carson Stidham of Clovis. Since he's from out of town, I guess he can mangle the name. It won't hurt us. And maybe he's out of listening range now, if we're lucky, after blowing that. Terrence Johnson of Kankakee. Rich Potter. Thank you very much, Rich of Champaign. Gary Daly of Anderson, Indiana. Yet another Indiana. Paul Muth. Thank you so much, Paul. One of our frequent callers here from Urbana. James and Virginia Foster of Champaign, Eileen Zemlin of Champaign, and Jacqueline Davis of Champaign. Lots of Champaigns, lots of Urbanas, lots of Indianas, but not enough people overall. Each and every one of you who's called in, who's made a pledge, we really appreciate it. We couldn't exist without you. The station couldn't exist without you. For those of you listening who still have yet to get to the phone, who yet to call 244-9455, please do call now. Please make that call. Make that $60 pledge. You know, John and I have talked about it, but I'm just going to make the point one more time. Only 10% of the regular listeners to this show or this station pledge. They let the the 90% of you are letting 10% do all the lifting. We need more people. If we just got 12, 15%, it would do wonders. You have no idea what good this can do for this station, the show, this community, the impact it can have not only in Champaign-Urbana, not only in cyberspace, but on other public media, even on other commercial media, on the journalism in this country. If we can help raise issues by getting people like Joe Stiglitz out before the public eye with Nobel Prize winning economists, with the really hard research on what the actual cost of the war is going to be here for Americans and for the world, in effect, down the road with the wars in Afghanistan and Iran and Iraq. Yeah, that's a slip.
That's the next one.
Yeah, thanks, John.
Don't get ahead of the curve.
Yeah, there we are. So the number 217-244-9455. Go to willpledge.org. John Nichols, going ahead, we've got a long stretch to the Democratic and Republican conventions. There's been a lot of people saying Hillary Clinton should get out of the race. She can't win it. The only way she can win it is by kneecapping Obama to such an extent that neither of them will win it if she's successful. What's your take on that debate?
I don't believe anybody should get out of any race until they want to get out of it. The fact of the matter is that I'm not a particular fan of Hillary Clinton's. I've been probably more critical of her than any other journalist. But I find it deeply offensive that people say that, try to tell candidates who, frankly, are actually still quite viable, Hillary Clinton may well win the Pennsylvania and Indiana primaries, that they've got to give up on their hope, their dream, their desire to lead the country because it's inconvenient for their party or for another candidate. This is what they did to Ralph Nader in 2000. This is what they've done, you know, time and again to candidates who seek to raise important issues. Now, I'm not saying this because I like Hillary Clinton, but we have to get away from the dysfunctional politics that says that it's all about the candidates and recognize that election campaigns are really about the people who are involved in them and about the level of citizen engagement. And if Barack Obama wants to get Hillary Clinton out of the presidential race, he should go beat her. Beat her in Pennsylvania. Beat her in Indiana. She'll be done. That'll be the end of it. You cannot maintain a functional race if you continue to lose. And so I don't worry too much about this. There's one other thing that I think we have a media in this country that is always looking for drama, always looking for theater. The fact is that the Clinton-Obama campaign has not, as of yet, been a particularly intense or particularly bloody campaign. It's had its blow-ups, its flare-ups. There's been tensions along the way. But the truth of the matter is that the things that Republicans said about John McCain before he secured their party's nomination were far blunter and far more brutal than the things that Hillary Clinton is saying about Barack Obama or vice versa. So the truth is that come June, I think you will see Hillary Clinton step back as a candidate, and at that point, Barack Obama will have 2 months to prepare for the Democratic National Convention. I think he'll do so successfully, and I think there's a very, very good chance he will be the next president of the United States. I don't think that he benefits from having an easy road paved for him by people who want to get other candidates out of the way before it is time. She'll be out at an appropriate point. And Barack Obama will, in my anticipation, have plenty of time to mount a serious and successful campaign for the presidency.
Our guest, John Nichols, today on Media Matters. I'm your host, Bob McChesson, here at WILL AM 580. This is our Pledge Drive show. Unfortunately, I don't have the exact numbers, but our numbers are well below what we'd like them to be this week. So if you are this time, not just this week. So if you are listening and you haven't pledged yet, please do call 244-9455, make your pledge, or go to willpledge.org. If you're listening by cyberspace or podcast, anytime in the next month, you can make the pledge for $60, my brand new book, The Political Economy of Media, you can have, or you can have my book from last year, the companion volume, Communication Revolution, or you can get the brand new book of the person who's joining us in the phone line right now, Norman Solomon, his book, Made Love, Got War. We're going to have Norman in this back on the air just in a couple of weeks for a full hour to talk about the book, but he graciously volunteered to come on the air today to just talk about the importance of this show and the type of radio it represents. Norman, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing okay. You know, I was just thinking that the rate of profit increase at ExxonMobil is probably a lot steeper climb than the Media Matters intake increase. Wild guess.
I think it's a safe one.
Hey, Norman, the next thing you're going to predict is that as we get toward Memorial Day and summer driving season, gas prices will go up.
But $4 a gallon doesn't exist. I heard that on authority from the Oval Office.
There you go. And you know what? You also heard it repeated verbatim by most of our media.
Well, now we know.
Norman, this is John Nichols. You've done such great work for so long on issues like the war in Iraq and a host of other U.S. foreign policy matters. And yet, you know, how often do you get invited to appear on, you know, Larry King's show or one of, to talk about your new book?
Well, very little, and it's kind of the equivalent when I am of you won't eat lunch in this town again. I was honored to be on with Glenn Beck a few months ago, and I think in this life it's probably our first and last encounter on CNN.
Yeah, and that's one of the things, you know, we had Noam Chomsky on earlier, and again, he said, you know, look, around the world he's invited on media programs all the time, broadcast and even commercial media in other countries, but not in the U.S., You've had a similar experience. You travel around the world. You're very, very well respected in other countries. And yet here at home, you know, some of your few vehicles for getting your message out are public radio stations like this one.
Well, the really key aspect is when the producers, the hosts, the journalists are open. And we find, frankly, very sort of Swiss cheese in what's called public radio.
Yeah.
Some outlets like WILL-AM very open, willing to innovate with programs that deserve support, and I think that's where we need to put some of our resources.
And Norman, if I can interject here, this is Bob McChesney. Again, thanks for joining us. Sure. One of the issues you've written on a lot has been Iran and the U.S. relations to Iran, and one of the most striking developments is the drumbeats for this war with Iran heat up, is that in our news media there seems to be a fundamental lack of knowledge of just basic Iranian history and Iranian-Iraqi Sunni-Shiite relations that sort of distorts the entire coverage.
Yeah, I think John McCain is far from the only entity out of Washington that gets befuddled between you know, who Iran is supporting and whether Iran is actually, you know, backing Shiites and or Sunnis and all the rest of it. When I was in Tehran in 1995, it was during the campaign for president, which unfortunately Ahmadinejad won, but it really struck me that there was a real civil society, and is, with albeit some repression, but a real civil society in Tehran that was totally absent in Baghdad when I visited there during the Saddam Hussein regime in 2002 and early 2003. But I was struck when I got back to Washington, in that case, from Tehran, there's kind of an axis of fanatics between the worst parts of the Iranian regime and the Washington regime, so to speak. And so it is sort of a love that dares not speak its name between Ahmadinejad and, say, Dick Cheney.
Mm-hmm.
And they egg each other on.
And the news media, what's your grade you would give our news media for their coverage of Iran?
Well, I think somewhere between D minus and F plus. It seems
you've actually found something good in it.
Occasionally, you know, there are a few caveats thrown in that the claims about highly enriched uranium are not verified by the quote unquote intelligence community, which of course is a phrase that makes you think of people in the backyard barbecuing rather than spooks who sometimes assassinate and certainly deceive the public in this country through their PR apparatus, especially the CIA. But the net effect, I think, is that we have the capability at the drop of a hat for, say, Jamie McIntyre or Barbara Starr at CNN. We hear that in the Straits of Hormuz there was some sort of near attack threatened by Iranian vessels on U.S. ships. And all of a sudden, we're having a very unpleasant flashback to August 1964, and it's as though nothing was learned about the Gulf of Tonkin purported incidents. And in fact, many days later, the Pentagon itself backed off from its account of these supposed threatening maneuvers and radio broadcast from Iranian vessels, and yet the news media, I mean, they don't have to say they're sorry at the New York Times or CNN because they are serving stenographically, and then they just kind of move on.
Norman, we all have to move on pretty quickly. We're almost at the end of time, but before we say goodbye to you, can you just quickly tell our listeners how important a show like Media Matters is to a writer, to a journalist like you?
Well, it's vital because in real time, live broadcasts, whether it's podcast on the web or on the air, we can get information and analysis that counters the steady stream. And that's why I would encourage people to pledge support to Media Matters, to WILL-AM. And a little birdie told me that there's a phone number people can call, which is 244-9455, and that's in the area code 217.
Very good.
They can dial 244-9455 and pledge their support.
Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your Sunday, Norman Solomon.
My pleasure.
We're looking forward to getting you on for a full hour in a couple of weeks. That's going to be great. John Nichols, you know, we're nearing the end here. We're going to stay on until 2:06, so we've got 9 more minutes.
And we've had a lot. I know we've had a lot of calls, and you've read long lists of people who've pledged, and it's fabulous. And so we know that there's support for this program out in Champaign and Urbana and all the way over into Indiana and all up and down Illinois. We know that people are listening on the web and calling in. We also know people are driving through the area and calling in to support this program. But the fact of the matter is, this is not just a feel-good moment. This program is the place where WILL raises a large portion of its funding for all of its programming, for the whole, 24/7, day in, day out, because listeners to this program understand the challenge of our current media. They understand the need to support public radio. So at this closing point, we need people to step up. Even if you've already given before, if you've given in other years, this is the time to renew your commitment. You're not just supporting this program. You're also supporting a great radio station, and you're going to allow WILL to be a major player, not just in the Champaign-Urbana area, but in Illinois and nationally as we go into a critical presidential election season. We need your pledges, because there's so much important work to be done over the next few months and years.
Our number here again, 244-9455, area code 217, or go to willpledge.org. I'm Bob McChesney. You've been listening to Media Matters, I hope, for the last 2 hours, but at least for a portion of the 2 hours, if you're still listening now. We're going to go to 206. At 206, WILL will air a special two-hour Tavis Smiley program on the 40th anniversary of Dr. Martin Luther King's assassination. Again, I think, this is an interesting subject, John.
Mm-hmm.
I've been following the press coverage of the Martin Luther King anniversary quite a bit. And to me, there's like two different worlds. There's the actual world of Martin Luther King that he actually lived in. And then there's this sort of character world I see in the media about Martin Luther King. It's very little to do with the person.
We made Martin Luther King Jr. into kind of a Santa Claus figure now, right? He's a happy guy who did some noble things way in the past, and we forget the fact that Martin Luther King Jr. had to fight and struggle, not merely with a federal government that didn't always back him up and often was at odds with him, certainly with state governments that were at odds with him, but also with a media that portrayed him often in brutal and crude manners, especially
including
the southern media.
Well, even when he went against the U.S. war in Vietnam in his famous Riverside Church mm-hmm. speech in 1967, he was excoriated by the New York Times, the Washington Post, who all said, look, you're supposed to stick to civil rights stuff.
Exactly.
You don't have the necessities to handle foreign policy.
At the close of his life, when he was beginning to extend beyond just pure civil rights into economic rights, he was again savaged in the media and neglected and pushed to the sidelines. The fact of the matter is that this is the truth always throughout any political struggle. Those who are demanding more than power wants to give are invariably going to receive negative and dismissive media coverage. They're going to have to seek out those outlets that will cover them more fairly, more responsibly, that will give them voice. Public radio stations in the time of Martin Luther King Jr. and in this day today are absolutely vital vehicles for doing this. And when you support a station like this, you don't know whose voice is going to get heard in the next months or the next years that might not otherwise be heard, but you do know it will happen.